You know, when it comes to the devil, there is a movie which, for me, exemplifies what he's really like. And that movie is, what is that movie? Okay, now bear with me for a moment. I'm changing gears here. And let's see here. The Wizard of Oz. Remember, they went to see the wizard. And, I am Oz. And then, remember that little dog, Toto, goes over there and pulls the curtain back. And they see, wait a minute. The wizard is just this guy who has created this image that he is the great and powerful Oz. And he wasn't. And when confronted, he admitted, it's like, well, no, you know, it's just me. That's the way it is. You know, the devil has created this image that he's more than what he really is. And we really have to get past that. And the more that we press into God and know Him, the more we will get past that. Would you please open to Matthew chapter 21? Matthew 21. We're going to take a look at, once again take a look, at the issue of praise. Praise and worship. And you know, some people might say, man, I just, nothing personal, Pastor Jim, but sometimes I get a little, well, you know, I mean, isn't there anything else you can preach? Well, yeah, there is. I think I've proven that over the years. However, if you've been around here for any great length of time, you know that praise and worship is a major theme of what is taught. Now, we've come a long way in our praise and worship here in this church, far more than what other churches experience. We actually had one person several years ago leave this church because this person said, well, you folks just don't know how to praise. Well, from that person's perspective, praise meant, you know, all excited and stomping your feet and running the aisles and things like that. And this person really wasn't used to the kind of worship that was taking place here. Well, it's gone beyond where it was, you know, that, you know, 15 years ago or whatever that was. But yet there's more. And the biggest problem that we have when it comes to worship is, you know, we call it the flesh, but it's really emotions, feelings. That's the biggest problem. Because every one of us in here, I think we can relate to the fact there have been times where we just didn't feel like doing it, you know? We just didn't. I'll tell you what's happened to me. How many times have you guys come in here, Sunday morning or Sunday night, doesn't matter, and, you know, the praise and worship is going on, and you're starting to feel sleepy. I mean, you like the slower songs? You know what I'm saying? Come on, hey, you guys look at me like, no, not me, Pastor. No, no. Now, I know better. Some of you, yeah. Well, that happened to me one time. Seriously. And because you see what I do up here. I stand up, and then I sit down for a little bit and get my legs all happy again and stand back up. And there was this time I was sitting there, and, you know, my eyes are closed, and I'm worshiping. And I'm drifting off. And you know how when you start drifting off and you have kind of like, you start having like a little bit of a dream or something like, okay, well, that started happening. Like, oh, can't do that. Well, then I kind of, you know, slapped myself out of it. But here's the thing. I was still singing. I was still singing with whatever song. I was still singing. But on the inside, I'm starting to have like a dream or something. And when I kind of come, it's like, oh, and I'm still singing. So what's going on? I can tell you what's going on. My spirit didn't want to dream. My spirit was still activated in that praise and worship. That was cool. Because I'm thinking, how could I do that? How could I be, you know, half sleeping over here and yet I'm still singing the song? My spirit. It doesn't mean I'm any better. It just means that's the way it is. That is a part of us that has to be released more and more in our praise and worship. And too many times, we get caught up in not letting that happen. In Matthew 20:21, if you look in verse 12, it says, Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. Now that's putting it, that's nice, the way it's written. They were hot. And they said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, and have ye never read out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? That right there is one of the most powerful verses in the entire Bible. God has perfected praise in the mouths of babes and sucklings. Now you have to remember, Jesus is looking beyond the cross and he's speaking prophetically about those who would accept him as Lord and Savior. He is saying that in the mouths of babes and sucklings, who are the babes and sucklings? Even those who've just been born again seconds ago, God has perfected praise. Now, leave your finger here because we may come back to this in a moment. But he was quoting from a passage in Psalms. And he asked them, Have ye never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? Haven't you read this? Whenever Jesus asked a question like that, the answer is always yes. He knew they had read it. So now, let's take a look at this. Go back to Psalm chapter 8. Psalm chapter 8. And here in Psalm chapter 8, verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Now when Jesus was talking to the religious leaders, he asked them this question. Have you not read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, God hath perfected praise? But when we read it here, it says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength. Now what's interesting is that when he said that, there's nothing in Scripture where they tried to correct him. They didn't say, oh, no, 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 Jesus. That's not what it says. And along with that, do you really think Jesus would have misquoted Scripture? Do you think he would have said, is it not written, summa, and it's not written. It's not in there. So when he said, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise, and he asked him, have you not read this? And he's quoting from Psalm 8, verse 2. Since they didn't try to correct him, and since obviously we're talking about Jesus, so therefore he would not have misquoted Scripture. That means there is no disconnect or error between these two passages. So there has to be something that connects them. And this is where we run into a problem in the English. Because there are nuances of both the Greek and the Hebrew that, and I'm not an expert, so I'm not sure how to always explain this, but there are things written in the Greek that are conveyed differently in the Hebrew and vice versa. So Jesus did not misquote at all. And when he confronted, in those days with Jesus and all, when you confronted the religious leaders, you better make sure that what you say is right. Because they were always looking for ways to trip him up. So if he had misquoted the Word of God and misused it, they immediately would have had something to use against him. All right, now let's think about this. In Matthew 21, verse 16, that word praise, it comes from a Greek word, einon, and it means to praise, praise returned for benefits received or expected. In other words, you're praising after the fact and you're praising before the fact. You're praising for what has happened and you're praising for what has not yet happened. See that? Now that's really important because that means, Father, I thank you that I'm healed and yet it still hurts. Or you're still going for the therapy and the treatment or whatever. Well, I'm thanking him now for the fact I expect the manifestation. Even though I'm still taking the medication, even though I'm still going to the doctor and I'm letting medical help help me, I praise you, God, for my manifested healing that has not yet fully manifested in the natural. Well, here in Psalm chapter 8, in verse 2, the word strength, it comes from, and this is, I hadn't even thought about this till just now, it comes from the Hebrew word oz. O-Z. I didn't make the connection till just now. And in essence, what it means is this, the Lord as one's strength, the power of God, the ability and might with which God anoints His king. Now in Revelation it tells us that we have been made kings and priests unto God. So he says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength. Thou hast ordained an anointing to be upon and operating through the king. Well, prophetically, that's us as the kings and priests unto God. So, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. See, the moment you get born again, you're considered to be a king and a priest unto God. You don't work your way into it. The moment you're born again, you're a king and a priest unto God. But from that moment on, you're learning how to operate as a king and a priest. Well, here he says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, out of the mouth, thou hast ordained strength. Out of the mouth. Well, that means something has to be coming out of the mouth. And then in Matthew, when he said, have you not read how that God has perfected praise? Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, God has perfected praise. Out of the mouth, God has ordained strength. Praise. Strength. Now, here's where it gets kind of interesting. He didn't misquote, but what he did was apply, what's a way to explain this? He applied the message of Psalm 8:2 into the reality of how this strength is manifested. Here he says in Psalm 8:2, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained. That word ordained means established. In other words, it's set in cement. God has ordained it. Now this is the way it is. It doesn't work any other way. This is it. You cannot change this rule. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, God hast ordained strength. Out of the mouth. And then Jesus says, have you not read that out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, God has perfected praise? Praise is what? It's something that's supposed to be coming out of your mouth. A lot of folks talk about, well, you know, I praise God in my own way, and I praise Him in my heart. That is not what we see here. Out of the mouth. Out of. Out of. That means mouth is open and something's coming out. And Jesus clarifies over there in Matthew what that something is. That something is praise. That something is praise. Now, in Psalm 8, verse 2, look at this. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, God, you have ordained strength because of your enemies so that you might still shut down, hush up, put to flight the enemy and the avenger. See that? Now, you know how we talk about, well, the battle is not ours, but it's the Lord's. Then, okay. And don't you sometimes wonder, I think He needs to fight a little harder because I don't see it happening. What's it say? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, God has ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Okay. God has perfected praise out of the mouth. He has perfected praise out of the mouth of babes and sucklings and mature believers as well. It never changes. But it starts the moment you're born again. Out of your mouth, there is an anointed strength that is released from God through you to deal with the attacks of the enemy. Now, what does that mean if we don't praise? Out of the mouth, if the mouth's not open, and the words and the praise and the worship is not coming forth, you know what's happening? We are hindering God's ability to flow through us with this anointing and this strength and this power to overcome that which the enemy is trying to do. One of the greatest weapons that we have at our disposal is praise and worship. In church and away from church. When God created Adam and Eve, now I've taught on this before because this is kind of a little bit of a review. When He created Adam and Eve, He created in them the ability to sing and to create instruments and make music. Now you might think, well, how do you figure that? Well, where do you think it came from? It's sure not a product of evolution. Where do you think humanity got the ability to sing and to create instruments and to play the instruments and to make music? See, music was never supposed to be used to glorify the devil. Or drugs, or immorality. It was never it's a perversion of all of that. It's a perversion of the very thing God intended for what it's being used now. So there's a warfare that goes on. Music and singing to glorify things not of God, and music and singing to glorify the things of God. God put the ability to sing when He created Adam and Eve. He put it in their DNA. Now, He commissioned them to produce more humans. God has not been making people ever since Adam and Eve. Some people might say, well, yeah, but what about, you know, Jesus? Yeah, but God needed a human for Jesus to be born through. All right? So the only two people that God, I say it like this, the only two people that God made from scratch it was Adam and Eve. Now, He put in them the DNA, or in their DNA, in their genetic code, was the ability to sing, create instruments, and make music. Well, as Adam and Eve were producing more humans, all of that that code for music and singing was passed on. All of it was passed on. But we had a major interruption in Genesis chapter 3. Before they could start passing on the perfect genetic code for praise and worship, there was sin. And we saw in Genesis 3 that all of creation has been corrupt. Genesis 3, Romans 5, Romans 8, all of creation has been corrupted down to the cellular level. That includes humanity. So now here's what's happened. As people are born, every now and then you have these corruptions in the DNA code, the genetic code. And so you have babies that are born with birth defects, babies that are born with cancer, all that. And that makes no sense. How is that possible? You know, the parents, I mean, the babies don't smoke in the womb. How'd they get cancer? Okay, this all goes back to Genesis 3. Well, along with that, the genetic code for singing and making music was also corrupted. Because what you have now, you have some people, I mean, when they sing, you think for sure, that's got to be the voice of an angel. Just beautiful. I mean, right on pitch. Just absolutely, I mean, it's there. And some of them are so good at it, you can tell them, okay, sing middle C. And they hit middle C. All right, well, hit two steps above that. Or hit. You tell them to sing a note, they sing it. They sing right on pitch. It's called perfect pitch. Where'd that come from? That's the way it was supposed to be at the beginning for everybody. So you have those kind of people. Then you have, boy, they sure do try people. I mean, I've been around folks before in church, and I mean, buddy, they their mouths were open. And they were just letting it go. Everybody else was singing in the key of E, and they're singing in the key of G. I mean, it is way off. How can you fault that, though? They're doing their best to praise the Lord. And I admire that because they really don't care if, you know what, it doesn't sound like some people, they're so bad, they don't know they're off pitch. But to God, it's glorious. It's glorious. But see, what's happened is that genetic code has been corrupted, and some people, they're just not very good at singing. And some people are really good. I've been around people before, one person starts singing, and then the others instantly have all the parts, all this harmony. It's like, this is not fair. But that's part of the way it was supposed to be. Some people, this is incredible. They can hear someone play something on the piano they never heard and go sit down and play it. How is that possible? I know a man, he was in college, and to help pay his way through college, one of the things he did was give guitar lessons. Well, he didn't know how to play the guitar. So what he would do during the day, he would get the lesson book out, and he would teach himself, and then that night he would teach what he just learned. He said, how is that possible? That's because that Pastor Dave used to call it that floating gene. You know, it pops up every now and then in some folks. But there's a reason for all of this. You know, some people, they can play instruments with great precision, while other people, they struggle to clap their hands in time with the music. I won't go any further with that one. And God, along with that though, a part of that program is the fact that all humans have this attraction to music. Whether they can keep time or not, whether they can sing or not, everybody has this attraction to music. As a, I didn't always live for Jesus, okay? If you have anywhere, like a disc jockey, a DJ playing music, that DJ is in control of everything. Absolutely everything. And the DJ can change the entire mood of whatever's going on. If you play the right kind of music, you can actually motivate people to start fighting with each other. Oh, yeah, it happens. Now, we have this thing in us that draws us to music. How many times have you heard a song and you catch yourself tapping your foot, and you didn't realize you were tapping your foot till you looked down? It's like, whoa, what's going on down there? Or you start singing or start humming or something like that, and you're just doing it subconsciously. That's because of that music thing that God has put into all human beings. Now, there's a reason for it, and it's right here. God has perfected praise in babes and sucklings. He has ordained strength out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. In other words, when we begin to praise God, okay, God created people, and I don't know how He does all the nuances, but He inserted all of what I've been talking about concerning music into the genetic code. Now, it's in there. And I don't know if there's any human way of discovering, hey, why, that's the music code in the genes. But God put it in there. He put it in there, and He ordained it so that when we activate it through praise and worship, out of our mouth, through praise and worship, it says right here, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. God, you have ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. The battle is not mine, it's the Lord's. And God says, yes, but I will give you my strength and my anointing to overcome. The Bible says that Jesus made a show of the enemy openly. The Bible says we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. Now, here's what happens. When we open our mouths and we begin to praise the Lord, on pitch or off pitch, it doesn't matter. You can be at home making up your own praise songs as you go. It doesn't matter. When we open our mouths and we begin to praise Him and we begin to worship Him, what happens is this. It opens a channel in our spirit for His strength to begin to flow through. I mean, it says right here that He's ordained strength so that He can still the enemy and the avenger. Well, He put this in us as a way for Him to move through us. And as we begin to praise and we begin to worship God, there is an anointing that begins to show up. There is a move of God that takes place. He says He inhabits our praises. So when we begin to praise, He inhabits. Now think about the services here. All great sermons and great other things and so forth, but when is it that we really notice the presence of God? It's when we're praising and worshiping Him. Why is that? It's because we have opened that channel. We've activated that code in us for Him to be able to move through us to manifest His glory and His presence among us. And this is why it is so critical for us as Christians to open our mouths and praise the Lord. It's giving Him a way to move through us on our behalf with His strength and anointing so that the things that the enemy is trying to do will be shut down. I remember one time there was a situation came up. It's like, God, what do we do? What do I do? And He told me, praise me for the answer. All right. So I just started praising. And for 7 days, I would take time and I'd be praising God over this situation, praising God. And in 7 days, on the seventh day, exactly, the seventh day, the whole situation was totally resolved. Totally resolved. And I didn't have to do anything. I didn't have to confront anybody. I didn't have to do anything. All I did was open my mouth and begin praising God. And His anointing and that presence and that power and the deliverance and the solution and the answer began to flow. He flowed through that praise and worship to bring about the deliverance, to bring about the settlement, to bring about the peace, the resolution. I mean, whatever you want to call it. He did that because I opened my mouth and made a decision to praise Him and to worship Him. You know, think about some of these examples in Scripture. They're in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, when they had brought the ark into the temple. God's glory didn't show up because the ark was there. It says the moment that they begin, the musicians and the singers begin to praise the Lord as one, begin worshiping the Lord as one, that is when His glory filled the temple. And it was so powerful, it said the priests couldn't even stand to minister. That you know, they were slain in the spirit, you know, if you want to call it that. But it wasn't until they opened their mouths and praised. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, the enemy, the pagan nations were coming against the Jewish people. Jehoshaphat said, God, what do we do? Well, the end result was this. The army went out, but in front of the army went the choir and the orchestra, the band. And the Bible says that the moment they began to praise the Lord, the moment they opened their mouths and praised the Lord, God set ambushments against the enemy. They didn't have to do anything. They just praised God. And God moved. And here's the thing. They did not know God had moved until they showed up at the camp of the enemy and they found them all dead. They did not know what was happening because they were praising God. They just praised God. And that released God to move through that praise. And those people weren't even born again. In the book of Acts, Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas are locked up in jail. The moment they began praising God, that anointing began to flow through that praise and worship. And this is really neat. The anointing began to flow through that praise and worship. The Bible says that that prison where they were, it was shaken. And all the prison doors were open. And all the shackles were released. The jailer thought everybody was going to escape. He was going to kill himself. Paul said, no, no, don't do that. We're all here. Everybody's here. That's cool. Now think about this. They begin to praise and worship God. They did not say, oh God, break the chains, open the door. Set us free, oh Lord, we can't take anymore. No. That's off my latest CD. No. They just started praising God. They just started praising God. And the shaking took place. And it wasn't just that they were set free. Now listen to this. All the pagans in the rest of the jail, in the other cells, they were set free as well. Now, you need to let that sink in. We begin to praise and worship God. We activate that code, that genetic code that God has placed within us. But within our new nature, how much more is God able to move to do this? Because our new nature is in line in accordance with His nature. So therefore, as we praise Him, He is able to move through our born-again spirit in ways He couldn't in the Old Testament. And yet, look what He did when people praised Him in the Old Testament. Now, this time of year is the perfect time to finally cut loose and praise the Lord. You know, have you ever wondered why is it that it's just different around Christmas time? Why is that? You know, it just, everything seems to be different. Well, it does. And it is different. It's not your imagination. It is different. Why is that? Two primary reasons. One, there's a focus on Jesus Christ and His birth. And two, people are singing praises to God all over the place. They are. I've got a songbook here. I have some extra ones. You can have one yourself if you want. But listen to this. I'll just read bits and pieces of this. What child is this? Verse 3. So bring him incense, gold and myrrh, come peasant king to own him. The King of Kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him laud, bring him praise, bring him glory. the babe, the son of Mary. People get drunk and sing these kind of songs. They don't realize what they're doing. I'm not making that up. You know? I hope I'm not talking about you. In silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face with the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Praise God. Listen to this one. Hallelujah. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ, by highest heaven adored, Christ, the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold Him come, offspring of the Virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all He brings, risen with healing in His wings. Mild He lays His glory by, born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Glory to God. Think about this. Preach it and sing it, hallelujah. Angels we have heard on high, the chorus. This chorus, this is the one everybody tries to make it through without having to take a breath. Gloria. In excelsis Deo, glory to God in the highest. People sing that song and have no idea what they're singing. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. And listen to this one. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth. The Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ. While fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make His blessings flow. Far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness, and wonders of His love, and wonders of His love, and wonders of His love. People are singing these songs all over the place. Born again and lost. Everybody is joining in unison to praise God. This is why it's so different this time of year. And Satan hates it. You know, he doesn't care if you sing about, you know, Frosty the Snowman, and he doesn't care how many times you hear "Have a Holly Jolly Christmas" by Burl Ives over and over and over. Go ahead, sing Jingle Bells. Go ahead, sing that Grandma got run over by a reindeer. But when you start singing about Jesus, there's something that happens in the realm of the Spirit. We don't see it, but He does, and that's why things are different this time of year. God has placed that in us. God has placed that genetic code in us, or in our genetic code, all humans, for that music to be able to praise. And it enables Him to move. Even lost people. In the Old Testament, we had lost people that where this happened. I just quoted from it. But today, you think that's changed? I mean, do you really think that God would not move if lost people started singing praises to God? You say, well, are you sure that could happen? Well, yeah, I'm sure it could happen. I don't know if and when and where, but I know it could. And I know this, God will honor that. He would show up. But for us, born again with His life and nature on the inside, as we begin to praise Him and we begin to worship Him, we are opening that channel, opening that place of flow, opening the faucet, if you will, for that glory and that anointing and that presence to flow. And the more we do that, guys, the more we're going to experience it, and we're seeing it right before our eyes here in this church. This is why when we praise Him, His presence will show up. And like I said, this time of year, the Christmas season, it is the perfect time to, if you will, mortify the flesh that is so self-conscious when it comes to praising God. I mean, my goodness, everybody can sing Joy to the World and cut loose, and I mean just let it go. You know what? We can do that with all the other songs too. And praise the Lord and worship the Lord and know His presence. Glory to God. Well, I don't know about you, but I'd kind of like to do a little praising right about now. So, yeah, look at that. I didn't have to say, Jamie, come on up. Why don't you all go ahead and stand? And Jamie, you just flow, and when we're done, you let us know.
Thank you. Oh, we bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Oh, 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 I love you, love you, love you, God. Jesus. Oh, Jesus, we adore you, Lord. 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 We adore you, God. And we praise you, Jesus. Lord, we're so thankful for this time of year, Jesus. We're so thankful, Lord, for this whole Christmas season, Lord. We're so thankful that we get to just sing along with worship songs, even on the radio. Thank you, Lord, that the world doesn't even know what they're doing, but they are worshiping you, Lord, as Pastor Jim said tonight. We're so grateful. We're so thankful, Lord. Help us not to begrudge this time of year, Lord. Help us not to just roll our eyes at the songs that we've known all our lives. But, Lord, help us to enter into that place of praise and worship, Lord. To take advantage of the times, Lord, where we hear these words, that we would sing them to you, Lord, with everything in us, Lord. As we're in our cars or at our homes, Lord, listening to the radio or whatever it is. And Father, as we come here together, Lord, as we sing these things together, we not just think, oh, that's just a Christmas song. We think, oh, yes, that's a Christmas song. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We worship you. So for one more minute, just praise Him in your own words. Oh, we worship you, we worship. Oh, we worship. Oh, we worship you. Oh, we worship you. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Oh, we worship you. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Oh, we magnify you, praise and glorify you. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. Jesus, Jesus. We adore you. We adore you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. So we go tonight, Father, and we do. We give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor, Lord. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.